one day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way one day at a time. I'm only human, I'm just a man. Help me believe in what I could be and all that I am. Show me the stairway I have to climb. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way one day at a time. Do you remember when you walked among men? Well, Jesus, you know, if you're looking below, it's worse now than then. Pushing and shoving, you're crowding my mind. So for my sake, Lord, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way one day at a time.
Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Oh, you better just do it one day at a time. Don't go any further than that. All right, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're in the seventh section of the book of Hebrews. And this will go all the way through chapter 12, verse 2. And what we're going to see here is, after all that he said in the book of Hebrews, he comes to say this in Hebrews chapter 11. Faith, not works, the way of salvation, as proved by instances of the First Testament saints. Now, you've heard me say now for a little while, because we've been in that in those chapters, where I'm saying that the New Testament is better than the Old. That the old was done away in Christ Jesus. But I want to tell you what, the Old Testament saints prove to us that the way of salvation is by faith, not works. Some want to say sometimes that, well, the Old Testament saints got saved by works. They had to keep the law. And the New Testament saints are saved by grace. No, you're still saved by grace the same way in the old as well as the new. But we needed the new. Without the new, the saints of the old would not even be saved. And so here we're going to look at this in chapter 11. And let's just start with verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And I believe referring to Old Testament saints, elders there. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The first century Judaism was, and I have reference to the first century back in the time of Christ. Of course, Christ died, was buried, rose again, ascended back to heaven, started the church, the book of Acts, and the apostles, and the apostle Paul come on the scene. The first century Judaism, made up of the Jews and the way that they were living at that time and believing spiritually or religiously, the first century Judaism was not the same supernatural system given by God, whereby the sinner was given salvation in answer to his faith in the offering for sin, which pointed to Christ. And having said that, meaning this, the first century Judaism was not the same spiritual system that God set up under Moses and the law. And because they broke the law, then the sacrificial offerings, it had turned from that to something else by the time the Lord Jesus Christ had come. It had become Pharisaical. It had become self-righteousness. People were trusting in what they were doing in order to obtain merit and salvation with God. By the way, not too much different than today, right? The church has de-emphasized, and by the church I mean anyone who pretends even to name the name of Christ, any church that says they're a Christian church, they have just fallen down, de-emphasized faith without works. And most people think that getting to heaven depends upon what they do. So it hasn't changed much, and so what we're teaching here applies to today as well. But first century Judaism, the time of the Apostle Paul, and the time of the writing of the book of Hebrews, had kind of deteriorated into something which was just a system of works. Judaism had become plain and simply a system of works whereby a sinner gained salvation based upon the things that he did, rather than having faith in the offering for sin, even in the Old Testament, having faith in their offerings as they brought them, the lambs and the bulls and the goats, having faith that what those offerings pointed to, which was to Christ, could save them from their sin. Not their works, not their law keeping. None of them could keep the law. They all broke the law. Romans teaches us in chapter 2 that we have to conclude one thing. If the Jews couldn't keep the law, neither can the Gentiles. So the whole world becomes guilty before God. And salvation must be by something else other than works. And it's by faith in what Jesus Christ has accomplished on the cross. And I like to say what he's accomplished and how he's completed salvation there at the cross. There are so many that want to say that salvation is not completely done. You, first of all, you trust Christ as Savior, but then you got to keep up your end of the deal. You know, God hasn't made any deal with you and me. There's no deal. It's all by salvation through faith, by grace. That's what it is. There's not a deal. You don't make a deal with God in order to get to heaven. Well, if I promise to be good, I'll go to church every once in a while. You know what that does? That blasphemes the work of Christ on the cross. That's to say, his work there is not sufficient to fully save you as a sinner and take you home to heaven. Well, I contend, based upon the word of God, that the death of Christ is sufficient forever to save you and keep you saved. We were going to end the morning service, but I thought I'd just let you get out of here with Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. There's a stanza in there that says, saved from sin, the double cure. The double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. There's the two double pure, the double cures right there. Save from wrath and made me pure. A double cure. You know, there are some who want to say, okay, I'm saved from wrath. I trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, but now it's up to me to make myself pure and even to keep my salvation. Now, double cure. Double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Kind of going along with the message. That's why I thought I'd put it in with the message this morning. We're to reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin through Christ. And then yield our members as instruments of righteousness. And who will help us to do that? The Lord. He'll save us from wrath and he'll make me pure. And one of these days I will stand in his likeness in heaven. Totally, completely pure. No more concerns about sin. And no more problems with the flesh either. We'll be perfect and like Jesus in heaven someday. But Judaism had become plain and simply a system of works whereby a sinner gains salvation. Look at Mark. When the Lord was here, he said this to them. Mark chapter 7. This is one of my favorite places in Scripture, of many. But this is one that I kind of like, the way the Lord dealt with them here. In Mark chapter 7, I'm going to start reading verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. Oh, you know, that is a terrible thing, unwashing hands. They had traditions that they had to keep, and that's one of them. Verse 3, for the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. When they came, and when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. That means when they go downtown and they mingle among everybody, some of the Gentiles and the Samaritans, and they buy food and everything and take it back home, they wash themselves. Cleanse themselves from rubbing shoulders with those sinners down there in the marketplace. And many other things there be, verse 4, which they have received to hold as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, that would be Jesus, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Yeah, unwashing hands. That's one of their commandments. Verse 8. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. And whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. See, by doing this, they have made the commandment of God of none effect. They say to the people, you don't really have to honor your father and mother. If you give a gift to the temple, that takes away your responsibility to honor your father and mother. Now, the responsibility is they're to take care of mom and dad. But if they say, well, I've used the money that I should be caring for you, mom and dad, I gave it to the temple. Aren't you happy with me? Aren't I a good child? And the Lord's rebuking them for this. In other words, they should have used that money instead of giving it as a gift to the temple. But who would be upset with giving it a gift as a temple? See, their traditions have made the commandment of God of none effect. And they should be using that money to help their mom and dad first. That's their first responsibility. Verse 13. Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. I don't think the Lord's too happy with people trying to work their way to heaven. And while he was here, he exposed them for the hypocrites that they were. Because you know what? When it really comes down to it, when they wash themselves and wash their hands and wash their pots and everything, inside of their heart they were wicked. Wicked. I mean, what kind of a heart says this? Well, I was rubbing shoulders with those Gentiles down in the marketplace. I got to wash myself. What kind of a wicked heart is that? Especially when there's nothing in the scripture that says you're to do that. And they believe they have to do that and keep the tradition of the elders. Otherwise, they're not going to be in good state with God. Jesus says, you've made the word of God of none effect through your traditions. And that can be applied today in the modern church of today. They got their traditions. And if you talk to most people and ask them the question, do you know where you're going to go when you die? Their response back is, well, I hope I've done enough good. I mean, or something similar to that. Well, I hope I've done enough good things to outweigh the bad. You know, and on they go with stuff like that. You make the word of God of none effect when you do that. You make the work of Christ on the cross of none effect when you do that. And that's a terrible thing to do. Back to Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith. See, they no longer were by faith trusting God. Paul proves here that faith justifies by using Old Testament examples. Before we go any further, take a look at this chapter. Go down to verse 4. See this? By faith, Abel. Is he Old Testament or New Testament? What would you say? Old, right? How about by faith 5? By faith, Enoch. Is he old or new? Old. By 7, by faith Noah. Old or new? Old. Verse 8, by faith Abraham. That's old, right? How about verse 11? Through faith also Sarah. That's Abraham's wife. And you just keep on going down through this chapter. You come down to verse 20. By faith Isaac. 21, by faith Jacob. 22, by faith Joseph. 23, by faith Moses. 24, and by the way, by 23 is really more about his parents than about Moses. Verse 24, by faith Moses. All the way down to verse, by faith they, that would be the children of Israel, passed through the Red Sea. Verse 30, here's Joshua. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down. Verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not. Verse 32, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and on it goes. We'll get to that as we continue studying this chapter. Old Testament saints were saved by faith, just like the New Testament saints will be saved by faith. So Paul proves that faith justifies by using Old Testament examples. And in verse 1, he defines what faith is. Verse 1, now. Now, the word now takes us back to chapter 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. Verse 1 of chapter 1, now faith, let's define faith. All right, he's just said, we'll be justified by faith. Well, what is faith? Chapter 11, verse 1, 1 through verse 3, faith is defined. It is the substance of things hoped for. Now, this may not be what everybody wants to hear. They want to be able to handle it. They want to be able to touch these spiritual things. They want to be able to, you know, put it in a box and put it in their pocket and carry it with them. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, substance here equals a title deed or a guarantee. It made up of two words, stasis, to stand, and hupo, to be under, more like a foundation. So faith is the substance or the ground upon which you hope for things. One's faith in Jesus Christ is God's guarantee of things hoped for or eternal salvation. Faith cometh by what? And hearing by what? The word of God. You know, those are, faith cometh by hearing. You know, you can't grab a hold of hearing. That's something that you let come into your ears. Information coming into your ears and hearing. And what is the information you need? The word of God. The word of God, it's a spiritual thing here. The substance is of things hoped for. One's faith in Jesus Christ is God's guarantee. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, that's God's guarantee of things hoped for and eternal salvation. He says, if you believe in me, if you believe my word, if you believe my Father, if you believe in me, if you believe in the gospel, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's the things hoped for. Believing is the guarantee of things hoped for or eternal salvation. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And verse 24. Romans 8, verse 24. For we are saved by the amount of money we give to the church. Now, say that now. For we are saved by hope. Now, hope is not something you can grab a hold of and put in a box. It's not something you buy. It's something you exercise in your mind. It's a believing thing. It's a faith thing. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is not seen, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Faith is God's guarantee of things hoped for, such as eternal life and salvation. Faith is what brings it. Paul doesn't care if people of the world say, well, that's easy to say, faith, you know, but I want to handle it. I want to grab a hold. No, you got to come by faith. There's no other way to come. How about if we wash our hands off it? What if we wash our pots? What if when we go down to the marketplace, we rub shoulders with all those sinners, we cleanse and bathe ourselves, take a shower? Faith is the ground, the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, faith is the evidence of things not seen. All right, evidence means the conviction of things not seen. Someone said this, the world says this, seeing is believing. I want to see it first, then I'll believe it. You all sit here tonight, you left your homes, got in your car, and you came to church to sing praises and to hear preaching about someone you've never seen. You never saw them. And here I am preaching about someone I've never seen. I've never seen him. Who? Jesus Christ. I never saw him. But you know what? I'm convinced. By faith, I'm convinced that there is no one else like Jesus. No one who can satisfy like Jesus. And yet I've never seen him. Never seen him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. So the world says seeing is believing. You know what the Christian says? Believing is seeing. Believing is seeing. I believe, and therefore it is right. It's true. Someone said this: faith gives reality or substance to things hoped for and leads us to feel and act about things not seen as though we could actually see them. You know, the lost people look at us, they watch what we do every day, and they watch our living for the Lord Jesus Christ, someone we've never seen. They hear us sing the songs about someone we've never seen. And they hear us talk about going to heaven, we've never seen that. But you know what? We see them. By faith, we see them. And we're going to learn in this chapter, by faith, Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God, which hath foundations. Something not built by man either. You know, he lived his whole life like that. He lived in a tent. Everywhere he moved, he had to take the pegs out of the ground, stakes out of the ground, and fold up the ropes, fold up the tent, and carry his house somewhere else and set it up again. And all the while, by faith, he said, there's coming a city someday that I'm going to live in. Because God said so. And I believe. Believing is seeing. How about the children of Israel under Joshua walking around? You know, I'm going to get to this, but I'm throwing it in here now. Walking around the city of Jericho. Joshua said, we do this, and on the seventh day, we're going to have the victory. They, by faith, did that. And that's what the chapter says. By faith, they encompassed the walls of Jericho. And it came tumbling down one day. I, by faith, have trusted Jesus Christ to take me to heaven someday. And I know he's going to do it. I'm convinced. My scriptures are so accurate. The prophecies in the Old Testament scriptures of Jesus coming and everything are so accurate. I have full confidence. I have evidence by faith that he is going to do these things for me. Someone said belief which takes hold upon the affections and the will and moves to action. You know, this belief that I have in someone I've never seen moves me every day to live for his honor and glory. To talk to people about my Savior Jesus Christ. To live holy and godly. Why do I do those things? Because my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ makes those things happen in my life. And so what does it say here in verse 1? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. This would be realities of the spirit world, such as like heaven and all the things we talk about for the future. We believe this as believers in Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus is coming back. And the Bible says so. And I believe the Bible. I, by faith, take the Bible at its word. That's God's word. Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back for the church in what we call the rapture. At any time, we could be gone. Boy, wouldn't that be great if it happened right now? And it's going to happen that way. Just that quick, that fast. These are things not seen. I've never seen everybody, you know, anybody be raptured out before. I've never seen that. And yet here I am talking about it. You fool, the world probably says, what are you, crazy or something? Well, you might call me crazy, but I have faith that becomes the substance and the evidence of things not seen. I'm going to heaven. And I'm not going to heaven because I'm good. I'm going to heaven because Jesus is good and has provided the salvation for me. Yeah, but you never even saw it. I know. But I'm going to heaven, and I know it. Down deep in my soul, I know it. How about heaven itself? I've never seen heaven. Isn't it interesting that some of these charismatics and Pentecostals, they want to say that they had a vision, they went to heaven and came back, or whatever. And then they write books, sell millions of them, make a lot of money. You know, it's money. It's all money. They didn't go to heaven. Oh, yeah, they did. Now, you know what? I don't have to have someone go to heaven and come back to prove to me. I, by faith, have the evidence that heaven is real. By faith. Just by what I believe. It is how hypocritical the world is. Some of these sport teams, some of these professional sport teams and the people of the towns, they get excited that maybe their team is going to get to the World Series and win the whole thing. And have you ever noticed some of the cheers or some of the phrases they use about their team? We believe. We believe. We believe what? We're going to the World Series. Yeah. And about three or four teams who are really good, all the fans believe their team's going to do it. And they believe it. You know what? It doesn't happen for three of the teams. Only one of the teams. And these people put us on, we believe. We believe what? We're going to the World Series. We're going to win it all. And then they lose in the first set of playoff games. You know what, folks? I believe something that's going to come pass. Well, how do you know? Because by faith, I have trusted God's word, which has already shown that what it says is going to take place. Some of the things have already taken place, which people in the Old Testament by faith believed. So guess what? I'm just going to keep on believing in what God has said. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Remember Elisha's servant? When the Syrian army gathered all around Dothan, the city of Dothan, and they had all their chariots and everything. And the servant said, oh, Elisha, we're in big trouble. We'll never be able to fight against them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, open his eyes that he might see that there are more with us than there are with them. And he opened the servant's eyes and he could see the fiery chariots of the Lord surrounding the whole place. It's a spiritual thing. The rest of the people didn't see it, but they saw it, and Elisha saw it. His servant was allowed to see it by faith. And no one else saw those chariots round about. And you know what happened to that army? They were coming down to give Israel trouble. And Elisha said, Lord, make them all unable to see where they're at. I don't know how that happened. I think they still had their eyes open. They could see, but they really couldn't see. And Elisha led them right into the city of Samaria and the king of Israel, which they were trying to defeat. He led them right in there, and the king of Israel and all of his soldiers captured them. And the king of Israel says, oh, what should we do? Should we slay them all? And Elisha said, wait a minute. The Lord brought these captives to you. Feed them and send them on their way. They fed them. They had a good meal. And they sent them home. And the Bible says the Syrian army never again came down upon Israel. But what caused this? Faith. Faith in God. And heaven itself. The Bible says we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. I have all spiritual blessings in a place I've never seen. But I'm going to see them one of these days. And I'm going to heaven. How about the future? Oh, you guys talk about the future and Jesus coming back, set up a kingdom. I don't know if I believe that. Well, I do. I believe it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians now, chapter 2, verse 9. I hope you're convinced that what you've trusted in by faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. You know, you might sit here and say, oh, Pastor Freeman, what are we doing here? Here we are at church. What good is this? We're here talking about things that we've never seen. But we believe with all of our heart that we're going to have them someday. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. I like the word things in these verses. Things. All the things that God has prepared for us. It's going to take an eternity for us to enjoy them all, understand them all. Listen to them all, see them all with our new eyes and enjoy them with our new bodies. These are things that God has for us. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, but here we are tonight talking about them. Why? Because they have been revealed unto us by the Spirit of God. This is a spiritual thing. And it's a faith thing. And as Hebrews states it, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I'll just close with this. We, by faith, believe in someone we've never seen. But my Bible says that a man came into this world named Jesus. And he did walk among us. And he performed miracles to reveal who he was. And then he went to the cross and died there. I mean, that was real. I mean, a real body. I mean, they took him out and nails into his hand. Real nails into his hand. And he died on that cross. They buried him and he rose up from the grave and he ascended back to heaven. And now his followers are preaching a gospel which says you need to trust in someone you've never seen. But oh, what he did for you, he did. And what he has in store for you, you can't see, but he's going to do it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We'll talk more about this faith, especially verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. You know, I believe that. But people in the world can't. They have to believe in evolution. They got to believe in something they can see and handle and touch. I believe that things which we see today in this world were made of things that you can't see. God spake and they came into existence. So, wow, what a gospel we have. This certainly is strange to the lost, but beautiful to those who have trusted Christ as personal Savior. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. And thank you for the day that we saw by believing someone whom we've never seen, but we know he's going to do what he says. And not only that, our lives have been changed since trusting in someone we've never seen. There's no doubt about it. And of course, the Bible is the truth. It bears out the things that you said were going to happen. Some of them have happened. Some are still yet to happen. And so we believe. Help us to spread this good news, because this faith in someone we can't even see changes lives, saves people from a life of misery and woe, and gives them a new life to live in Christ. May everyone here know that. And if anyone is here who doesn't know the truth of these things, may they by faith believe it. and enjoy it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, if you're here and not saved, want help with that, you can talk to me or my wife or anyone else. We'd be glad to help you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're listening on the internet, right where you're at, trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you will have the evidence of things not seen, such as heaven, forgiveness of sins, new life, salvation. Trust Him today in Jesus. All right. Have a good evening. We'll see you Wednesday night, Lord willing.